WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latte from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Let's say you're on vacation or on a business trip. You find yourself in a new, unfamiliar city. Hear it? What's your strategy? Walk the busy streets or explore the quiet alleyways? Avoid the tourist traps or figure the crowd knows best? Do you go to the museums? Do you talk to strangers? Well, a new guidebook to New York from, of all places, a design firm is built less around what to see in a city as how to see it. It's experiential travel. And here to discuss the philosophy and some of the particulars that they flag in New York the new book, Eyes Wide Open. Well, it's called IDEO, Eyes Wide Open. And my guest is Fred Dust. Fred, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
First, IDEO is the name of your design firm.
That's right, exactly.
Like idea, but with an O.
Yeah, and it doesn't stand for anything, though everybody always asks.
Where did it come from?
I actually think it was a misspelling of idea, frankly. Designers aren't good spellers.
And you just kind of went, ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
We'll keep it. In fact, we'll name ourselves out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So at its core, what is experiential travel?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, to give you a little bit of background around experiential travel, I should give you a little bit of background about the way that we approach design at IDEO. So IDEO is like a design and innovation firm. And a lot of what we do when we look at designing new experiences, whether it's a hospital room or a shopping experience or a phone, is actually people, is really trying to understand people and the way they make things. And so a lot of the notion around this book was to say, what do we do when we're actually designing things? How do we look at the ways people have designed New York? What are the experiences they've designed in New York? And what does that tell us about New York? So it's primarily around kind of looking at the experiences in New York as kind of artifacts of the people who make them to some degree.
So maybe we should jump right into some examples from the IDEO Eyes Open New York book. And so far you just have New York and London, right?
Just New York and London, yeah.
Okay.
We have a lot of hopes, though, obviously.
Opening up this book, here's one that people would not necessarily think of as a tourist destination, Moms of Central Park West.
You picked my absolute favorite,
really?
Actually. Yeah, I mean, what's really interesting is, so when, you know, some of these things we came across because people would talk about it. So, and it could also be Moms of Central Park West or Park Slope, basically, because basically what we would hear about are people who would say, oh, you've got to go look at the Upper West Side and watch the kind of buggy derbies or baby blocking.
A stroller derby.
Yeah, stroller derby, exactly. And so, and you'd go and you'd see it. I mean, literally stores that would shut down because they'd have so many strollers in the store that people couldn't move through it. Really interesting things about, like, stores that had kind of devoted whole fronts of their windows to be kids' playing areas just to kind of keep the kids busy. It's really interesting to see how New York has kind of adapted to that.
Stroller parking.
Yeah.
another one, rather than just list the Broadway theaters and what plays you might see, you have staking out Broadway stage doors.
You know, in New York, I think is one of, New York and probably London are the only places where stage doors still have all the meaning that they do. And it's really, I mean, it's great to go see a show, awesome, but it's really great to kind of watch people come out at the end and the kind of the furor. You know, it's like the only place where it's okay to have paparazzi at this point because everybody, you know, it's kind of part of the ceremony of the theater is the stage door stalkers. It's really awesome to watch.
You know where else that happens? At Yankee and Shea Stadium.
Yep.
Because the diehard fans know where the car entrance and exit is for the players at the end of the game. And so if you wait around like an hour or something after the game, you know, they hardly ever stop and give autographs, but you can see them driving up.
Yeah, and what's cool about it is that it's like, it's okay in those moments. Like, people are like, you know, it's not scary, I think. Whereas in other situations, it can be, I think.
Now, listeners, we're going to open up the phones and invite you to call up with your experiential New York travel tips, okay? People outside the New York area, listen to this. And this is also another way to see your own city if you are a New Yorker. So 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. You've heard some examples from the book IDEO, Eyes Open. I keep wanting to say Eyes Wide Open, but it's Eyes Open.
That Stanley Kubrick thing
threw us off. IDEO, Eyes Open, New York. How about experiential tourism, New York City style? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post them to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Can you give me an example of what would not qualify as experiential tourism?
You know, it's actually really funny because I think in a lot of ways we're starting to hear about experiential tourism. And the big thing that I think about is things that feel really fabricated. You know, it's like I had an example where I was talking to somebody and they were saying, well, I had a great experience where I was helicoptered in to have tea with Buddhist monks. And I was like, anything with a helicopter probably isn't experiential tourism, or not the kind that we're talking about here.
Right. And yet they're a helicopter. Well, it's kind of on the border, right? Because
exactly.
they're helicoptering you in to have an experience,
exactly,
an interaction with somebody rather than to look at a monument.
I think that's right. I mean, and I guess that's the big thing here is that we see the heart of this as kind of interaction with people. I mean, one of the funny things about these books is that we only chose places, frankly, with really talkative owners. So the places that basically, you know, that are in there, there's people who want to talk about what it meant to make it, partially because that's part of what makes a great experience, having conversations with people.
We'll take another one. Not the art in the Metropolitan Museum, but the steps.
The steps. I mean, there's no greater people watching. I mean, the other one, actually, that's my favorite, that's right across from here, obviously, is the Fulton Ferry Landing, where it's like the background of Manhattan suddenly makes it so that everybody's battling for that one perfect. So we saw brides and skate punks battling it out to kind of have the perfect backdrop, you know, to their photographs. It's great to watch.
Harvey in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi there. Good morning.
What you got?
On Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings in Central Park at the Great Lawn, the dogs can be off the leash, and you go through there, and there are sometimes 100 designer dogs romping, and it's really great fun.
They're not just dogs. They're designer dogs.
That's right. Only in Central Park.
Yeah, thank you very much. Gretchen on the Upper West Side. You're on WNYC. Hi, Gretchen.
Hi. I listen to your wonderful program all the time.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. This is called Where to Go, especially for ladies, visitors to the city. First things first, where to go to the bathroom. And the libraries are the best because they don't ask any questions. You go inside and do what must be done. And they're clean and beautiful, especially Mid-Manhattan Library, 8 West 40th Street.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. There is a book. That's a book title,
yeah.
Where to Go. That exists.
Actually, I've seen that before.
Yeah. So do bathrooms get into your book in any way?
Well, actually, bathrooms, you know, they're really fundamental things. We actually looked for experiences where fundamental necessities could be taken care of. So in London, we talk a lot about bathrooms. In New York, one of the things that we talked about are places to nap, actually, which is a whole other thing. You know, it's like if you've got a busy day, how can you grab 2 minutes someplace? And there's actually whole businesses that are set up on places that you can actually go and have a 5-minute nap and pay for it.
Now, it's a coincidence because we have a project for our listeners going called Nap Strategies, which is exactly that. We know that a lot of people want to take naps, and a lot of people, especially in the workday, can't find the ways or means to take their naps. So we have a little nap strategy sharing project going on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on yesterday's page, and we had the one of the employees of Metro Naps, that business, on. Now, that, of course, it's kind of like helicoptering in,
yeah,
to have tea with the monks, though, because $14 for 20 minutes,
exactly,
in a recliner.
Yeah. It's funny. I actually did it, and I spent most of the time calculating how much money they were making off of it.
Per random thought.
Yeah, exactly.
Another thing that you suggest is to get to know a neighborhood through its cupcakes.
Yeah. I mean, this is actually a great thing about New York, is that you'll have something that kind of sweeps the city, but it actually, every neighborhood has a different interpretation. So cupcakes is a great example. We all kind of know Magnolia on the West Side, and it's kind of like the only, I call it the only bread line in New York, because you watch people kind of around the block. But then, you know, on the East Side, you've got Baby Cakes, which is kind of radical vegan cupcakes with a kind of feminist spin on it. And then the same thing with candies. You've got like the, you know, Uptown Dylan's Candy Bar and Downtown Economy Candy, and they're very different takes that are based on the neighborhoods.
Wait,
it's really cool.
Radical vegan feminist cup. What's a feminist cupcake?
A feminist cupcake is, well, actually, it's anything where you complain about wearing an apron, is what we saw, at least in the store.
But you make the cupcakes anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Dan in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dan.
Hi, I told your screener the three words are take the bus.
Ah.
Last week, I took my daughter. She was off from school, and we live in Park Slope. We took a local bus into Brooklyn. We got off, got on another one, made our way into Queens. It took us about 8 hours. We stopped, we ate, we walked around. It was wonderful.
That's great. Another thing you can do is just pick a subway stop almost at random, go to it, or at random, go to it, get off, and walk around. Because usually the subway stops will be in relatively commercial or retail areas. Just get off and walk around and see what the street life is like. Yes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And actually, I think what's really also interesting, we actually did this for the book, is just riding, a subway all the way across the city, basically, and seeing how the population changes.
Yes.
It's really interesting to see how the dynamics on a subway shift, you know, stop to stop.
Remember the line from Brother from Another Planet, that movie? The A train is going north, pulling into 59th Street, and the brother says, want to see me make all the white people disappear? Because the next stop
yeah,
is 125th
exactly.
Street.
Yeah, it's really amazing to watch. I mean, I would actually say one thing that we see about, again, it's experiential tourism, is how you get around. It describes the, or it makes the experiences you have. If you walk, it's really different than if you take a taxi, than if you take a subway. And each of them gives you different kind of vantage points on the city.
We're talking about experiential tourism with Fred Dust from the design firm IDEO, which has published an experiential tour guide to New York called Eyes Open New York. They also have a London one. And we're taking your experiential tourism tips for New York. And Elizabeth in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. If you're interested in children and if you're interested in education, it's a wonderful contrast to be around a school at dismissal time and watch the kids come pouring out and observe the parents or caregivers who are there to pick up the kids and just see what happens. You get a sense of the neighborhood. And there's a real contrast, say, if you go to a public school in certain parts of Manhattan and then head over to the Upper East Side, where there'll be fancy buses and nannies and SUVs and chauffeur-driven cars picking up the street kids.
Yeah, I think a whole other take on that, frankly, and I think another caller referred to this earlier, is actually New Yorkers and dogs, actually. Because it's like we see the same sort of things because there's these kind of doggy daycare places, and you see really different kinds of perspectives on dogs by neighborhood. But not to say that kids and dogs are the same, but really looking at those kinds of interactions are really interesting and telling around neighborhood and city, I think.
And someone else writes on our comments page, I love to check out all the ladies' shopping bags, which are loaded with their daily needs. Especially amusing is the number of Victoria's Secret bags carried by women who normally would shop at Goodwill. So, I don't know.
That's a great example.
In the book, another one is seeing the Knife District.
Corin Trading Company. Yeah, and that's actually a really great. I mean, this is a small store downtown, and what's amazing about it is that it's like it's really all about the Japanese knives, and so you know a bunch of it's about sharpening and the art of sharpening. But the thing that was most interesting to me is that you know when you kind of go to a sushi restaurant and you see all the sushi boats and you wonder where do these come from? Well, that's actually where they come from. So you can go and you can just see like walls of sushi boats. It's great to watch to see.
Let's see. How about Josh in Brooklyn? You're on WNYC. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Brian. It's for the early morning tourists, but the wholesale flower district in the 20s there in Manhattan is a beautiful and lively and totally New York experience.
That's a great – and you bring up another thing that, you know, is really interesting. Cities change by neighborhood, but they change radically by time of day. So, you know, pre-dawn is a whole different New York than, you know, post-dawn. So those kinds of things are really interesting and exciting to see.
Thank you very much. You've got something sort of WNYC related in your book, which is StoryCorps.
StoryCorps, which is just a phenomenal. I mean, that's a it's a project we've admired at IDEA for a while, actually, and we were specifically interested in when it was around the 9/11 site, partially because it was just such a an interesting and compelling way for people to connect and tell their stories. And now it's like I think there's a book about how to do it, and I mean it's a really remarkable experience, I think.
By the way, we have the NAP strategies details up on today's webpage now. So let me just give this a little push. And partly because we're doing this in partnership with the Stanford Design School out in California. And I don't know if you know those folks, Fred, but, you know, meeting you for the first time here, I'd say they're kind of the West Coast version of you.
Yeah.
And they're great. And we're inviting you to find a way to take a nap sometime during the day without paying $14 for a 20-minute recliner. Lots of people want a nap. Lots more want to than ever can. Yesterday, we had a call-in and some guests on their nap strategies. Now we're inviting you to look for yours. And to hear what we did with this yesterday and for nap strategies guidelines, you can just see our webpage now at wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And we'll get together again and share all of these next week.
That's
and
great.
We'll keep refreshing that page every day from now through then. All right? And we have a few minutes left with Fred Dust from the IDEO design firm in New York, a design firm take on a guidebook to New York called Eyes Open, and Craig in Washington Heights here on WNYC. Hi, Craig. What you got?
Hey, Brian. When I have out-of-town guests, I try to take them to the Cold Room at the Fairway Market in Harlem. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Well, I've been in that market, but what do you mean by the Cold Room?
Well, they've got, you know, it's such a big place, and they've got so much floor space for their dairy and their meat and everything that instead of putting it behind dairy cases, you go through these great big swinging double doors, and the entire section of the market is, you know, 38 degrees.
Right.
I mean, it's cold
that's
in there.
Great.
And in the summertime, when people don't have their own coats, there's these coat racks lined up outside where you put on your little Fairway parka, and then you go in. And I love seeing the macho guys that are too cool to – they're just in there, their T-shirt and their shorts – in like a, you know, sub-zero freezer practically.
That's
and
great. That's
the little
awesome.
Kids getting all bundled up on, you know, sitting on the shopping cart, you know, making tent. My girls used to make tents out of the coats, and they'd sit in the tent and be in the cold room. It's you don't see it anywhere else.
I see a note being made. I think that one's going in the second
edition.
Yeah,
the next book gets that for sure. That's great.
Tim in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tim.
Hi, yeah. I'm going to have to say Chelsea. Every Thursday, you can drink for free at the art openings, and that's just great.
Yeah. Anything with drinks, you're going to see interesting behavior. Typically, we could do a whole book just on that.
And drinks and art together.
Yeah.
In this case, right? So you could count the number of times in a morning that you hear, "Oh wow."
Yeah.
One more, Joe in Washington Heights. You're on WNYC. Hi, Joe. Real quick.
Hi, quick. I'm calling you from Fort Tryon Park, which is gorgeous views. But I actually called about Grand Concourse and Fordham Road on a Saturday afternoon. If you want to see, you know, people watching, and I've taken photographs there, it's just the most amazing thing. You've got 100 different ethnic groups and all sorts of different people in dress and attire, and especially if you go in the summertime, it's just amazing.
And country. You know what's amazing about that? I go there sometimes, and there's, you know, it's not that far from where I live, actually, and there's the mainstream stuff, PC Richard, Radio Shack,
right,
you know,
Staples. Exactly.
And yet it is like seeing, you know, the chain store shopping at the crossroads of the world.
That's great.
So you want to give us the last word, 15 seconds? What do you do next?
Well, next, hopefully we keep doing more. But definitely, by the way, there's a website. Check it out, www.ideoeyesopen.com, where you can actually post your ideas. So send that in.
And we have linked to that on
great.
Our webpage in case you don't remember that address directly. So
and good luck with the napping.
I'm sorry, what? IDEO, Eyes Open, New York. Fred, thanks a lot. Sorry, I dozed off there for a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.